So let's finish up our discussion about Masa Grishaso, and we're, I think we're in the middle of discussing Sota. With regard to Sota, I think we're in the middle of trying to tackle the apparent stira in the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Geirushin seems to be machalik between Sota Vadai and Sota Sapek. And yet, when it comes to Hilchos Sanhedrin and the Koteret and Sefer Mitzos, he omits any kind of reference to Sota. That's problem number one. That's a group of problems, as we noted. And then the other side of it is that in Hilchos Isurei Bia, Perek Aleph, the Rambam at least says that Eidechot Betumah, in the context of Kini Ustira, it seems like it doesn't trigger Malkus Midin Tumah, it only triggers Malkus Midin Zona. So we noted that according to the Ramach, it's not true. The Rambam meant both. That would obviously be very helpful. I also suggested that, the absence of a separate mitzvah and minyan mitzvos, or even the reference, is difficult. And, it was Sanhedrin and so on. But maybe the answer to that would be, that we're dealing with a real integration of Masa Grishaso and Sota, that if that's true, which, again, these aren't very far-fetched. I don't know the answer because it's complicated, but, the Rambam does seem very, very explicit, in Hilchos Geirushin. So, that idea that, Masa Grishaso and Sota would really both share, but it wouldn't be Lav Shebeklolos, not for one and not for the other, would say something very, significant about, Ezra's back. Okay, he flew across the world, they told me. Okay. So, we'll have you report at some point. We'll give you like an hour or two. This idea that I gave, some of the other examples, that it's a very fine line, when something is lav shebeklolos and when, there are just like, applications, like as I mentioned, this is a big question about melachos. It's connected to the problem of chiluk malachos a little bit, but especially since on Yontif there's no chiluk malachos, the idea that you have like different applications of a single idea, that's not lav shebeklolos. Lav shebeklolos is when you have either diverse shemos isur, very different isurim under the same pasuk. Or, as I said, for the Rambam, things like, lo sa'abdeim, where you don't have, or lifnei lo sitei michshal, things where you don't have a particular ma'isa avera. But, where, you have more than one example of a common, theme, that might escape, lav shebeklolos. So the idea that might be what's happening in Masa Grishaso and Sota is, of course, very mechudash, but it might solve, the problem. So that's one whole perspective. Assuming that there is a stira, we still need to solve it. So I think the second perspective that we were talking about is that some of the Nosakalim make the ha'ara that, Hilchos Isurei Bia is really talking about an in-between case. Meaning, in Hilchos Geirushin, the Rambam distinguishes between Sota Vadai and Sota Safek. But the Sota Safek there is, Kinu Istira. Without there being, an edachot betumah. So it's, shnayim edim shazinsa, and that's contrasted with, a situation where you have, kinui and stira, but you also don't have, an edachot betumah. So edachot betumah in the context of kinui and stira, that's, obviously an in-between, situation, and that's really what is being spoken of in Hilchos Isurei Bia. So, of course, there are two elements to that. One is the status of Eidechot Betumah in general. Again, it's something we talked about at other times. Certainly, last year when we talked about Eidechot Isurim, I mentioned that there's this whole hierarchy. Of course, there's Shnayim Edim. you know, that's one part of the one edge of the hierarchy. Then you have Edecha Neman B'Yisurim, you know, and then you have things like Edecha B'Shvua, you know, which is in between. Talk more about that if the Yeshiva learns from Matzia next year. And then, of course, there is also, you know, the three Edechad B'Misa Sabal, you know, Edechad B'Egla Rufa, and Edechad B'Tumma, Edechad B'Sota. And, you know, it's about them we say, you know, that Komakom Shem Mina Torah Edechad, you know, Harekan Shnayim. And the question is, like, how, you know, literally do we take that? Like, in that hierarchy, is it more like a super Edechad Neman B'Yisurim? You know, or is it more like a, you know, one level down, but really it's a kind of, you know, Eidos given the context? And, again, we're not going to discuss this right now. It's not our issue right now. But just, to, you know, to give context to this, I think we mentioned last year, also, that, you know, it's possible to be mechalek within the three themselves, between Edechad B'Misa Sabal, Edechad B'Egla Rufa, and Edechad, you know, B'Sota. And these, you know, this touches on, you know, a bunch of questions, like, does it make a difference if it's Ksherim or Psulim? And even in the Rambam, there seem to be, you know, contrary indications. The Rambam doesn't treat all three of them, you know, exactly the same way. And Reb Chaim actually speaks about this a lot, in Hilchos Rotzeach and Hilchos, you know, Gerushin, and in all the places, you know, he tries to put together, you know, a coherent, you know, perspective on the Rambam. So the point is, what is the, you know, real status of Kinui and Stira and Edechad Betuma? Like, you know, the question is based on the assumption, really, that, you know, since, you know, that, you know, we there's no shtia, and, you know, we act on it, we treat it as a kind of sota vadai, that it's really the equivalent of sota vadai. And therefore, what is true, you know, about kinui stira and eid tuma, you know, should also be true for shnayim eidim without the kinui and stira, that those are basically equated. That's the unstated assumption, you know, of those who are asking the question, because, you know, kinui stira, safek, kivadai, is explicit that that doesn't get, you know, malchus, it only gets malchus, mardus. Again, I tried to explain yesterday two suggestions about, you know, the lefikach, but, you know, per se, that would be the that would be the question. So basically, this question of Edecha Betuma and kinui stira really touches on, you know, both of those elements, meaning the status of Edecha Betuma in the world of Eidos and in that hierarchy, you know, what is Eidos and what is Nemanus, and, you know, and all things, you know, in between. And of course, again, it touches on, you know, the status of, you know, of Kinui and Stira. Because again, if you look at Kinui and Stira, you know, as being something very distinctive, a mechayiv in its own right, probably related also to the raglayim ledavar and the begida and all these things. But, you know, if we want to talk about its legal status as a din, as a, you know, as a, you know, a process, you know, which kind of has a status or stature in and of itself, so then the possibility that Edechad Betuma, you know, within that status is something, you know, that is still different, you know, even though it's getting closer and closer to mimicking, you know, sota vadai, but it's still different, that becomes, you know, a very real option. So as it happens, again, you know, since we're here, that's why I wanted you to look very quickly, you know, at the, so this is Reb Chaim's approach, you know, to this problem. But again, Kedarko, he has some, you know, very interesting things to say. It's a window into his thinking. And basically, there are three pieces in the Chibur, you know, that are connected. And again, he mentions some of the other places when he talks about, again, Edechonem Bisurim and the three, but even leaving all those out. But this is the end of the piece on Hilchos Yibum that we discussed, you know, pretty thoroughly, you know, Perek Vav Halacha Yud Tes. So here the Rambam is discussed, and that's basically the approach that Reb Chaim takes. You know, he quotes the Rambam, and he notes that the Ravid, you know, disagrees. The Ravid seems to flip the Rambam's psak. The Rambam says that when you have kinyan stira and eid echad betuma, you know, that there is malchus mishum zona, you know, and not mishum tuma. We're not going to speak so much about zona now, but obviously by extension, you have to say something about it, right? Like what, you know, just to make it clear, like what are the criteria for zona? You know, harsher, you know, lighter, you know, you could take different perspectives on this question. Right, on the one hand, again, I think it's something we picked up on last year, those who were here, like, you know, what about like Eid Echad or Eidus Hakara, you know, when it comes to, you know, to the status of zona, you know, for a kahuna. Something Gatosis Rid and other Rishonim debate in the end of Matzach and Kiddushin and a little bit of Yavamos. Zona isn't erva, you know, strictly speaking, you know, on one level, because you know, it's not a question within the context of the ishus necessarily, in terms of the violation. On the other hand, you know, because kinu istira again, you know, is a din bifnei atzmo, so it, you know, it's not clear that it's held, or it's clear that it isn't completely held to the standards of Davar Shebe'erva either. So on the one hand, in other words, you know, it's within the Ishus, and therefore it's more of a Davar Shebe'erva. So this is a tricky kind of a question. And in part, that also may explain the opposite orientations in this question of the Rambam, you know, and the Ravid. But Reb Chaim has some things to say about it, and since we're here, and this is a good opportunity, so we'll spend just a couple of minutes discussing it before we move on, you know, to the other perspectives and then move on completely. So in Hilchos Yibum, the approach is that, you know, very similar to, you know, to the beginning of the piece. And that is the idea that Eid Echad Bituma in the context of Kinu Yastira is still a din in Kinu Yastira, and it's not a din, you know, in you know, in Vaday. Hare Lahedja da Rambam Bechalkan Latarti Dibinesra Mishum Znus, you know, Vaday Loka Ubinesra Mishum Kinui after Chashpinale Levaday Zinsa. That's the tricky part. Al Yedeho Eid Echad, meaning the Eid Echad Bituma, you know, catapults, you know, the effect of Kinu Yastira, which already is Safek Kevaday. Right, so this is even more, you know, now we, you know, project that there really was Vadai Zinsa, but it's still only, as we'll see in a moment, this Lishitasa, what he says in Nechasota, it's still only Betoras, you know, this being a process of Kinu Yastira. But his argument is that otherwise, what you should say here about Echad Betuma, right, the Das Rambam, going back a couple of lines. So, Chloma Harda Eino Loke Mishum Tuma Mishum Dein Eneid Echad Neman B'Davar Shebe'erva V'Hacha Neman Mishum Din Kinui Al Kochach Eino Loke. Meaning, you know, again, had it been on its own merit, since you know, Yichud is not a basis for even a Safek when it comes to Erva, certainly not a Safek Kevadai, even with the Raglayim L'Davar. Maybe, right? It's all just based on the, you know, process of kinu yustira. So the point is that the, even the enhanced, you know, practically vadai, you know, reconstruction of the Eid Echad Betuma doesn't get away from being, you know, Eid Echad, you know, B'davar Shebe'erva, which, if not for all the rest of this, falls short. So that's really what he's saying. After Chashfinam La Vadai Zinsa Oideha Eid Echad, Shemeid Shinitmeis Ein Bamalkis, the Chashu Vadai Rak Midin Kinui Velo Vadai Zinsa, Bimkain Bevadai Nachon Masha Kasavnu, Dilinian Tumya Karayos, Legabe Ibum Delomahani Kinui, Daininale Kamo Below Kinui, meaning the bigger idea that he expresses in the whole thing, which is that Kinu Stira is not a Suffolk, you know, Tuma Ke'erva Vadai, right, and therefore there's no, you know, safek even chalitza or tzara rather. The ein osrin ala yichud kamosha kasabnu Kibitim emes havyan tre gavni surim. El denira dafila das harayved, this is where it becomes an added element that we haven't seen yet. De loka, now he's trying to suggest that even the Raivid believes in this process of kinyu stir being a mechayiv, like a category unto itself of Iser Labala. The only question is, you know, again, is, you know, do you treat, you know, Zona, you know, like the Rambam holds that Zonas should be treated like Kinu Yastir. I'll see what, about that in a moment. The question is why. The Ravid holds, you know, that Zona is something that is completely, you know, unrelated to Kinu Yastira, because it's a din in kahuna, you know, and in its own right has nothing to do with, you know, the ishus and the begida and all of that. So what he's suggesting is that the Raivid who flips and who thinks that zona is not loka, you're not loka mishum zona, but when it comes to tuma, you think that's part of, that comes under the rubric of, you know, isha labala, right? Loka mishum tuma gam ke nachon, the kozel inyan isur labala, the mahani kinui, az shapir moel ha'idachot gam lamalkis, right? The Rambam has a higher standard. The Rambam holds that tuma ke'erva, or something like that, or you know, vadai znus, you know, is something which never is accomplished for kinui stira, not even with eidachad but tuma. And the Ravid will hold that kinui stira is suffik kevadai, maybe there's no malchus, but together with eidachad, that's still under the rubric of the dine kinui stira. And as such, you know, you could be lokep, you know, within that. But when it comes to zona, that's what the Ravid thinks. That has nothing to do with kinu yustira. So it's eidachad, basically, you know, betumah is not qualified because it's the equivalent of davar shebe'erva. Kibin de dina chashuv avadai nitma, ma she'en kein linen tumah de karayos, linen ibum lomahani, bazeh kinui klal. So that is the Reb Chaim's solution, you know, to this problem. Again, I think the Lecha Mishnah, this idea that, you know, we're dealing with eidachad and that's why it doesn't have anything close to the specificity of this explanation. So just a little bit more background, just for a moment, since we're here. This also relates to another Reb Chaim, two other Reb Chaims. One I told you to look at, that's Isuri Bia. I don't know if I told you to look at Sota or not. I'll just go in order for a second. In Hilchos Sota, you know, the Rambam, you know, codifies the halacha that if the Eidachad, you know, Bituma, were to come after the Hashkoa Sota, in other words, just to make it clear, if there's Kinu Yastira, so there's supposed to be, all things being equal, the option of Hashkoa, you know, Sota. If you have Eidachad Bituma, right, then there's no Hashkoa Sota, and then we treat, you know, and that's the next, we bump up that next level, right, and we treat it kevadai, and that's the question we were just discussing. Kevadai, you know, even, you know, extricated from kinu yastira, or still within the context of kinu yastira, you know, as the next madrega, right? That's what we're discussing. But certainly there's no hashkoa sota. So the question is, like, what would happen, you know, if there was kinu yastira and there, you know, was no eidachad present, and they did a hashkoa sota, and then after the fact, you know, Eidachad showed up, and he was made, you know, that there was tuma. So normally when there's hashkoa sota, you know, so then she is muteres, and she can, you know, continue, you know, to live with her husband. But, you know, if Eidachad is neman, you know, bituma, so why should it make a difference if it's all based on, you know, the objective, you know, reality of it, meaning there was a kinui, there was a stira, that either creates raglayim ledavar or whatever. The more you think that these are conditioned, then you have eidachad betuma to boot, you know, so like all combined, you know, that's, if that was really just the equivalent of, you know, of zinsa vadai, you know, legamri, you know, then it shouldn't matter, you know, if the eidachad, you know, shows up before the Hashkoa Sota or after the Hashkoa Sota, right? Because if two Edom were to come, that's explicit, like if two Edom were to show up after the Hashkoa Sota, So you might have thought, even then, like, oh, the Ribbono Shel Olam is, you know, intervening, and he, you know, is, you know, being matir this, you know, Isha, you know, Labala. So the two Edim, you know, are useless at that point. But that isn't true. That's clearly not true. It's clear from the Gemaras in Sota and from the Piskei Harambam that if two Edim were to show up after the Hashkoa Sota, that she would be Asura Labala, and she would be treated as a, you know, as a you know, bituma, you know, in every respect. That's the Rambam in Perek Gimel Halacha Kav Gimel. That, you know, he makes this distinction. So it's bo ede tuma achar shashasasa hareza teitze belo ksuva afilo lo irala davar midvar me, like, you know, how come, you know, she didn't have any of the terrible reactions to the you know, mipnei she'en amayim botkin alami she'en la'edim. That's an interesting formulation. Shemodian znusa avalimba eidachad the heid shaisa tmeya. Even though if the eidachad had come earlier, we wouldn't be mashgeher. Ein asura the teshav tachas bala sharei shasasa. So this is like very interesting, obviously. And obviously that halacha would seem to call into question, it's not, at least at minimum, it shows that Eidachad Bituma, in the context of Kinyu Stira, is not the equivalent of Shnai Maidim without Kinyu Stira, right? Presumably. Or Shnai Maidim, obviously, with Kinyu Stira. So the, you know, Chaim quotes the language of the Mishnah Melech, you know, who understands that the role of Eidachad Bituma here, you know, initially at least, is very limited. That really all the Eidachad Bituma does, this is an extreme too, which Reb Chaim doesn't like, is that he precludes, you know, the capacity for Hashgoah Sota. Right, that's what he quotes. Ayin Mishnah Melech, right, the Tam of Dekolshin, Dekol Nemanuso Shal Ha'Eidachad Bituma, Hu Rakl Inyan Shalotishta, Umimela, Dinishar Abisura Shemikodem, Aval Achar Shekvar Shasasa, right, Hare Kvar Hutra Yidei Hashgoah V'Shuv Lo Mahani Hadas Eidachad. Right, so that's why, you know, even though the Eidachad comes later, like, had it been that objectively, you know, this, you know, seals the deal and establishes that she was, you know, in violation of Znus Bevadai, you know, that she was Mizana, so, like, you know, who cares, you know, when it happened. But the Mishnah Melech himself is troubled by, what if there's, you know, Eidachad B'Medina Sayam, and so on. He has trouble with this. So first, Reb Chaim points out that, you know, it seems like the Mishnah Melech's perspective on the role of Eidachad Bituma, which again is a very narrow one, a very limiting one, meaning it has nothing to do, you know, with real nemanus whatsoever. It just targets the koach hashkaah. But really, really, you know, the complete oser is the kinu yastira. If there's an added element, this he doesn't say, you know, in the Iser Sota, you know, in the case of the Eidachad, it's not because of the birur of the Eidachad, it's because the Eidachad has closed off the option, you know, of a heter, right? Because even if there'll be no Hashkoah Sota. So maybe as long as you have the option of Hashkoah Sota, right, or maybe even an unrealized Hashkoah Sota, you know, it remains more of a suffix. That's the pashtus of the way that the Mishnah Melech understands the role of Eidachad Bituma. And again, if you say this, getting back to our question, so what we say about Eidachad Bituma and Kinyu Yastira, you know, is that the equivalent of Shnayim Edim Zinsava? The answer is not even close, right? Not even, you know, something to, you know, to debate about or to ponder, frankly. So don't worry, it gets a little, you know, closer. So, but then he points out that even sounds like the language of the Rambam in Perek Aleph Halachacha. Kol sota shamarnu she'ena shosa mipnei edei tuma harezo asura abala liolam sharei nasra bikini yustira vashtia shetatira nimna shariyesh ba'ed. So it sounds like the Mishnah Melech is saying, which is the Eidachad Bituma basically is excluding, you know, the Hashka'ah. And the consequence of her being, you know, more, you know, asura, you know, is just because you've closed off that avenue. And by the way, if that is true, then, you know, it's very different than Egla Rufa, presumably, unless you have the parallel there, which we're not going to discuss right now, or Bisa Sabal, etc. Hari lehed yadal ikar din amonis laidecha betumah uraklim noashka. El divrei Rambam, he says, akati einan miyushavim. Dnei de kolei dusa shalaidecha lo mahani rak linyan noashka v'amikom mokom. Hari avada, he's saying this misvara, de lo rak linyan shalol ashkosa lechatkhila. Kim gam lahavkia ikar din ashka. Like, if they're, let's say the eidachot came, and then there was a hashka. Somebody made a mistake. The paperwork didn't get to the hashka, office. So they were mashka her, and she, passed with flying colors. So what would happen then? So Reb Chaim says, pashut, that in such a case, the fact that the eidachot came prior, would exclude, the effectiveness, the heter, of hashkas sota. So that seems to be like, umidin amanus ha'idachot d'chashvinan levadai zinsel inyan zeh. The ein moel shuv hashka lahatira. It seems like, there is an element also of birur, frankly. And there are other gemaras that imply that, as well. So there's some, again, just to make it easier, there's mixed evidence, there's kind of like a dialectic, whether or not Eid Echad Bituma, given the context, is Naman, and really creates a Znus Vadai, or it's just like very, very narrowly targeting, the Hashka, or maybe the Chalos Hashka, you could still say, Imke Malon Bazesh Shaba La'achar Hashka. He's saying if that's the case, then, why does the Hashka Kodemes, in a case where the Eid Echad shows up only afterwards, why, what's the difference? So, basically, Reb Chaim, Lishitaso, says, Hanire, the Tama Mishum Dehine, the MS, sorry, Kaimelon, Ein Dover Shaber Repakas Mishnayim, again, Ein Eid Echad Naman Lomar Klal Shazinsa. This is really the Eid Echad should have no credibility here whatsoever. Barak Mamakum Kinu Yastira, who to have Xeris Akasa, he really believes in this, theme, very very Mabusas in the Makoros. Lahamin Gam Eid Echad, meaning even the Nemanus of the Eid Echad on a Birur level here is part of the din of Kinui Ustira. This process. Venira, and this is important. Delav b'maisa kinu yistira lechunu detalia, right? Kiyem debinan gam ha'iser shal kinui ustira. Derak mokum dechayil din sota beispe isura de sota the din suffix zinsa, right? Az who demo le duso shal eidecha leshabi lebadai zinsa. La Osra Bevadai. Meaning it is true, as other indications, would imply, that Eid Echad Bituma, right, doesn't just negate the Hashkah Sota, but the reason that it negates the Hashkah Sota is that in the context of Kinu Yastira, right, it is actually Naman, or it's Mevarer. But it's not Mevarer objectively, since this is a Davar Shebe'erva. It's only Mevarer because this was taken out of the normal, category of, or protocols of Davar Shebe'erva, and it's a special din of Kinui Ustira. So as long as you have the legal, this is what he's saying, the formal legal, status of Kinui Ustira, then part of that process is that Eid Echad Bituma, is Naman, within this context. But the second that the legal underpinnings of Kinu and Stira are gone, even though physically you had Kinu and Stira, which, by the way, is a way of, again, splicing off, what we'll call the Raglayim Ladavar part of Kinu and Stira. Even though, again, I don't think that means that the Raglayim Ladavar part is irrelevant. There's too much evidence, and it's too sensible that it is, relevant. But the point is that it's not a din bifnei atmo. It's probably the Raglayim Ladavar, the process or the Begida one or the other or both of the kina yustira, you know, both of which apply, even if legally that gets undone. But the point is that these are our formal process and category. So what he's saying is, avo b'makom, right, dibelo du so shalaydachad leka la isura ve'ena bedin so taklal as shuv lo mahani eduso shel ha'edachad la asra. Meaning, if you're relying on the edachad, you know, to put back together, you know, the kinu stira, which has already been, you know, legally dismantled, you can't do that. That's, you know, that's not the role. Again, if the edachad was naman in the context of either the begida or the raglayim ladavar, then why not? You know. But that's not what it is. All this is working within a very, you know, precise, very calibrated, you know, process. And that's exactly what he's saying. Avo b'makom d'beloi dusa shalaydachad leika ala isura b'ena bedin sota klal az shuv lo mahani edusa shalaydachad la'asra. V'lefiza nira din ba'idachad l'hoid ze gufa shehu b'makom kinui al ze gamkein ena nemon kedin davar shab'erba. L'fiza miyushav divrei Rambam shepasak din ba eidachad la'achar hashka eino neman. The kiva de kvar poka b'hashka asa isura de kinui, meaning once it was a hashka legitimately, you know, as part of the process, which is what, you know, would differentiate it from, you know, the eidachad came, you know, there's no legal hashka, you know, but they were mashke, right, as opposed to, you know, there was no edachad. It was a proper hashka'ah. So the hashka'ah dismantles the process of kinu estira. You know, even though it doesn't touch the raglayim ledavar or the begida, right? So v'lespa od din sota usveka dezinsa klal rakal yidei duso shabal levatel hashka'ah. Right? So you can't do that. Ulachule ba din sota v'din zinsa alken shuv ein echad neman kedavar shaberva, elish b'makom kinui, commotions bar. Benicha hashda. That's how he wants to explain the Mishnah Lamelech as well. So he says, oh, maybe that's what the Rambam meant. You know, when he said that it, you know, is the edachad prevents, you know, the hashka. Like maybe he didn't mean to say, you know, that there's no birur. It doesn't add anything to the likelihood of zinsa. You know, all it does is a special din that it precludes hashka. He says, no, what he meant was that it prevents hashka because the presence of eidachad betuma, right, you know, fortifies, you know, the mechayev of the kinu yustira. L'fidya reino yishlomer degam da'as ha-rambam d'nemonis eidachad betuma hi al ikar ha-maisa, right, d'neman la'asra b'toras vaday. But remember, this toras vaday is significantly short of the Toras Vaday of Shnayim Edim, you know, Shazinsa of Tumah Ke'erva, you know, with its Yibum implications and with its Malkus, you know, implications, right? V'had Kasav Rambam Le'el Shari Nasra Bekinu Yustira Hayne Mishum DeBezet Talu Yesod Din Nemanuso. I mean, it's only in the context of this process that there is Nemanos. Do'idacha Nema Betuma Rak be'ez shasura misfeka de kinu yustira. V'nicha de hosif harambam tama d'ashtia shetatira. I'm sorry, shetatira. One second. Nimna, sorry. The kiven, the yisodna medusa shalidachadu rak b'tziruf madasura machmas a kinu yustira imkein mimela gam lachar agada saidachad im ach haba poka minei yisura de kinu yustira have a poka gam namonis ha'edachad. He's saying, had it not been also true that eidachad precludes the hashka'ah and, like, you know, renders it no longer a chalos hashka'ah sota, so then if you were to be, you know, b'di'evet, if you were to come and to be mashke the sota, you know, that would still have the ability, you know, even if it wasn't, you know, sanctioned, it would still disrupt the kinu yastira. And once you disrupted the kinu yustira, then the eidachad betuma on a birur level wouldn't work. So what the Rambam meant to say was, the way he's saying it, the way I said it before was a little different, was that, you know, that, you know, the question of hashka sota itself, what I was saying, is a function of the, you know, kinyus tira process. And what Rapprayim is saying is, moreover, if it weren't very specifically for the role that Eidachot plays in rendering Hashkah Sota no longer a chalos Hashkah Sota, you know, and therefore that preserves, you know, the kinu yistira, which in turn, you know, allows or enables the Eidachot to be mavarer in this context. But chozer dino keidachot b'davar shebe'era v'lo kinu yistira deino nem. Lahachi hu dehosif tama tashka nimna al yedei He doesn't like the Mishnah Melech's idea that all that happens and just closing off the option of Hashka'a, you know, is already an escalation. You know, he thinks, no, the Eid Echad is contributing Birur. Just that, you know, if he didn't also, you know, render the Hashka'a, you know, impotent, you know, then, or the way I'm saying it, you know, the fact that he renders it, you know, impotent, which shows that he is integrated with this process, and part of it, then he wouldn't have the birur capacity either. In the end, he does have a line, Ela de mikomokom stimas l'shona rama mor de daito de kol namon seid achad rakum noas hashko. So actually my, you know, maybe alternative suggestion might help a little for that. Maybe. Okay. But either way, what I'm trying to, just the upshot of it all is, here's another strong formulation of this idea and more details, you know, about, you know, the formality of the process of kinyan yistira, etc. But also, just to, you know, to reinforce what he says in the end of the Sibum and the solution between Yisurei Bia and Gerushin, you know, that discrepancy, what emerges very clearly from here is this idea, much more extensively elaborated, that Eid Echad, you know, Besota, you know, while there is, you know, an added Birur, right, but it's not, you know, that given its context, it has the status, you know, of Eidus Gemura. And then he repeats it one more time, in Echad Yisurei Bia, but there he has also an interesting application to the right, which we'll get to in a second, but first I'll take a couple of questions before we move on. Yeah.
Can you just be clear, the difference between what he's suggesting, what Rav Chaim is suggesting here in Sota for the Mishnah Lamelech and what he thinks is true in the Rambam is whether whether there's actually contributing any objective biror, yeah, that might be relevant for other dinim, like outside of the context of this.
Or that is necessary for this din.
Right.
Well, meaning in theory, right. In other words, Reb Chaim doesn't think, he thinks, A, there are cases, like what will happen, you know, as I say, you know, if they were actually to be a mashke, if all the Eid Echad does is he prevents hashkah, so like, let's say, they didn't get the memo, you know, and they were mashke, you know, so then, you know, it shouldn't make a difference whether the Eid Echad came before, you know, or after. So that's an actual nafkamina. B, there could be other, you know, it seems like, you know, it affects maybe other dinim, you know, meaning there's a qualitative difference. I was adding, he doesn't say this, I think the alternative for the Mishnah Melech is, well, there's always a possibility of Hashkah Sota, so we don't apply the full, you know, implications, you know, of Kinyan Yistira as long as there's that exit strategy, but the exit strategy is negated by by the Eid Echad. I think that would solve, you know, that problem a little bit for the Mishnah Melech. But I think he's concerned about that, you know, as well. And then thirdly, maybe he's also, you know, just thinking that, you know, as much as Kinyan Yistira, you know, is, you know, this I wouldn't say magical, but this, you know, halachically, you know, sanctioned process. You know, since it isn't just about Raglaim L'Davar or Begida, the Haraya, when you take away its formality, it all crumbles. You know, so maybe you should require, you know, an added, you know, level, you know, to make more likely that this is Vadai, you know, even if it isn't quite the Vadai of Shnayim Eidim. So I think for all those three reasons, even though I'm suggesting a couple of ways out for the Mishnah Melech, that convinces him, notwithstanding the language and some of the other evidence, to assume, and I think also just the fact that, you know, Ula always, you know, talks about these three, Kamakom Sheh, you know, Hemina Torah, Eidachad, Harekan, Shnayim, even those, that language and the association with the others, I'm guessing, you know, all seem to work much better. You know, again, you could say that those all refer to the effect in the end of the day. Oh, we're treating them, they're Kishnayim, in the sense that, like, you know, that's all you need. And, you know, and the result, you know, seems to be, you know, that you're fully, you know, treating, projecting as if, right? But certainly, you know, while you could interpret that way, you know, the obviously it's more attractive, you know, to think that we're giving greater nemanos to the Eid Echad, not just because it's targeting some, you know, marginal, not marginal in its impact, but marginal, you know, in terms of what it's believed about. So I think for all those four reasons, if I just said four, that, you know, Reb Chaim thinks that this is a much more attractive way. And then he's just trying to fit it in, you know, to the rest of the words. And I'm making a couple of additional suggestions on that. Any other questions, or we're good on that? Then this one final discussion. We're good? Well, meaning everybody wanted to ask what Uriel was asking. He asked it well. And either the answer was acceptable, or it was like, no, it's so ridiculous, it doesn't pay to, you know, to pursue this. Okay, one or the other. Okay, so then you have Hilchos Yisurei Bia, where Reb Chaim just, you know, is more heavily weighted, I guess, on the Ravid part of the problem. And what is he? What that one I told you to look at. I'm not sure if I gave you the Sota one, but Yehudi saw it. So what troubles him here?
The Ravid.
Yeah, he says that the Ravid, who says that there is no Tumah, I'm sorry, there is Tumah, but there's no Zona, the opposite of the Rambam. He says, you know, the truth is that, you know, Yesh Dvarim Bego, that there is that makes a lot of sense when you think about it. Moreover, if you look carefully at the Rambam in Perek Yud Ches, Hilchos Yisurei Bia, he's saying, you know, the Rambam seems to agree with that as well. What does the Rambam say in Yud Ches Yisurei Bia Halacha Yud Beis? It sounds like he holds like the Ravid. What's Kol Isha?
Kol Isha Shakana Lavala Mistra Lo Shisis Mesoda Asur Lekolim Yudnei Shisapik
Zona
Ben Shlorasti Lishtus.
But Bein Shoysa Shom Eidus, so the Eidus Shemonas Lishtos, so it sounds like there is no Iser Zona, right? Harila Hedja, the Gam Hecha She'ena Shosas Mipnei Eidus, right? Gamkein Isura Lekuhuna is only Misapek. So there seems like a stira between the Rambam in Perek Aleph Hilchos Yisurei Bia, where he says that there is Malkus in the case of Kinui Ustira plus Ein Echad Betuma, right? Even though there's no, not Betuma, but there is Bezona. And the Rambam in Perek Yud Ches seems to say that there isn't Bezona either.
Right. Yeah. All these things, which sounds like maybe closer to Tumah.
What's that?
The Rambam's going to...
If it's suffek, then presumably there's no malchus, right? Okay. So what does he say about all of this? So he says, yeah, basically. And once again, right? You have it there, just Vanir Lomar.
Vanir Lomar, the Emes Gam Gas Rama Kedasa.
Maybe the Eid Echad shouldn't work. Maybe for, as I mentioned, this is a question. You know, in Eid Echad, you know, be Surim and Akara and all these kind of issues. You know, what's erva and what's, you know, what about psule kahuna, and what about identifying somebody, you know, as a yavam or as an eshashish? You know, last year when we talked about Echonem Bitsurim, we went through, you know, the Ramban and the Ran and, you know, all the Akronim who have these discussions, and Tosas Rid, I'd say, Nivamos, Ishtemo De'inu, and the Tosas Rid in the end of Kiddushin, and so on. So, but he's saying, no, maybe, you know, the Ravid makes sense. Eid Echad Bituma, it's not like we believe him objectively like Shnayim Eidim, and therefore we should apply it, you know, to... Now, again, if you think about it, right, it is Kinui and Stira. You have the Raglayim L'davar. You know, so why not say Raglaim Ladabar plus Seid Echad? You know, it works. You know, what do you get? Number one is a Chiddush always when you say like Palginan, you know, Nemanus of some sort. But again, if it's a Begida Halacha, you know, then it shouldn't apply to Zona necessarily. You know, but if it's an objective halacha, then maybe it should. Right. So what he's saying is, no, Eid Echad doesn't have that legal capacity. Go ahead. Yeah. So this is, again, very consistent with the piece in Sota. And of course, the piece in Yevamos. But here, the point is the reason I did it in this order is to build up even the Eid Echad part of it, as it did in Kinyan Stira. Yim Kain. Meaning, Eid Echad will work in Kinyan Stira, which is related to the Tumah part. The Kinyan Stira is not related to the Zona part, because the Zona part is all about Kahuna, right? So that's not a din in Ishus, correct? Yeah. Then the problem is you still have a stira to, you know, Hilchos Isuravia. So he comes up with a very important chiddush, you know, which again this is a little farther afield from our topic right now, but something to know anyway. Yeah, Val Karka. Okay, whatever. So what's he saying? Something obvious or something?
No, because he has to do the footwork to get out of the problem. Like
right. So he has a very subtle, based on the language of the Rambam, but an important principle in Zona.
But you're looking at all via the with the Isha Asura.
If you have an Isha who's Asura Labala, right, you don't care what the nature of that Isha is. She's not a Zona because she's Asura Labala. You know, if in other words, what he's saying is there are two like stages, right? If we ask, you know, is what happened to her or what she was involved in sufficient to make her, you know, already, you know, a Zona? Like, can you point to her and say, you know, she's a Zona, you know, something like that? Almost a little like, you know, our HSH, you know, catch 22s, you know, back in the day. Good memories, I hope. So if you do that, so the answer is, well, who knows? It's Kinui, there's Stira, right? There's Eid Echad. On some level, it remains a Safek. Right? But the subtlety of Dine Zona is that now, going forward, to have a relationship with this woman who, you know, whatever the reason, you know, is Alpidin Asura Labala, even according to the possibility that nothing happened, but she's still, there's still a status that she's Asura Labala, that would be a Maisa's Nus. I mean, this Maisa Bia would be a Maisa's Nus, even though the previous, you know, whatever did or didn't happen, does not make her that. So that's a very fascinating, yeah, Zach.
For a plan, why would that be true also without
the Gabe what?
Without the
I guess because it would only be Betorah Safek, and this is more Betorah's Vadai. I mean, that would be because of Safek Kevadai. I mean, there is still, I think it's a good question, but what I'm saying is the Rambam doesn't deny, and he's very actually explicit, you know, both in Hilchos Yibum, right, and in Hilchos Sota already, that Eid Echad Betumah, right, adds an element of vadai to the mix, right? Even though it's short of Shnei Nedim's Zinsa Vadai Tuma Ke'erva, right? But it is more than Safek Kevadai of Kinyan Stira. So I think your ha'ara is a good ha'ara, meaning you could have said, that's what Zach is saying, you know, that once this status, you know, of Zona is accepted, namely that, you know, doesn't only mean, you know, she was neveles, you know, be'isur, but it also means that it's asur livo mi sha'asura labala. So you could have said that that's true even in Kinyan Astira without Eid Echad. Having said that, I think it's a good ha'ara, and I think you could have, but I still think it's reasonable to draw the line, you know, where we're not saying it midin safek kevadai, you know, but we're saying it, you know, vadai safek kevadai, if you want to call it, or vadai asura betoras kinui ustira. So I don't have a problem with that. I just think it's a good, I mean, I'm not bothered by the question. I just think that you're making a good ha'ara, that it didn't have to be that way. Once you're saying this more expansive view of Zona, which is effect-oriented, right, then in Akhenami, it could have been at an earlier stage as well. But since he's not, like, inventing, you know, the Birur or the Yoser Vadai part, which is still short of the other Vadai, but which is beyond, you know, the Safek Vadai, it's still reasonable to me that that's a place to draw the line. Yeah.
Just to clarify
this, so
does that mean every time there's a lack of
Eid Echad,
the
Kinui,
the
Stira
status, or kind of develops, is always just status of
Safek
when there's no
Eid Echad? Well, remember that, I mean, again, we're not seeing this in a vacuum. When there's Kinui and Stira, right, so we do say, the Gemara uses the expression, and the Rambam, you know, repeats it, there is a din of Safek Kevadai. That's part of the, and that's why it's also the paradigm, you know, for Safek Tumah versus Hayachid Tame. So, but Safek Kevadai doesn't mean it's Vadai. And the bigger point for the Rambam is, I mean, for Reb Chaim's understanding of the Rambam is, you know, both in Safek Tumah versus Hayachid and even in this paradigm case, is that there's no real projection, you know, that this happened. What we're saying is that you underwent the process of Kinyan Ustira and there, therefore, is an Iser because it might have happened. Right, so when we say that, oh, Eid Echad v'tumah is there, so we're notching it up one more. We're saying, you know, we're projecting, you know, that it happened, but we're projecting it in a way, in a bubble, you know, of the process of Kinyan Ustira, which, you know, we acknowledge would be inadequate if we were treating this as a regular Davar Shebe'erva. So it's not Birur that you need for Davar Shebe'erva. It's Birur that works, right, in the context of Kinyan Ustira, but that's still more than, you know, the Safek and the process of Kinyan Ustira creating a din, you know, which is short of that when there's no Eid Echad. Is that clear?
Is it just when we're like moving it up a notch, we're moving it up to a notch, only within Kinyan Ustira to, like, make,
yes,
it?
Meaning the din of Eid Echad, the Tumah, is moving up a notch, and it is projecting more, you know, what likely happened, but that's still within Kinyan Ustira and part of the din. Even though, again, this is what I've tried to show all along, and that is that, like, it's so fascinating, you know, because Reb Chaim is really, originally I was talking about two levels. You know, he is accentuating, you know, that these are legal categories. He's formalizing them. He's doing what he does. You know, so it's fascinating that, you know, Kinyan Ustira already, you know, has been made into a din, you know, but then Tumah, you know, of Tumah Ke'erva, you know, is one beyond that. You know what I'm saying? And that's why it's, you know, a din besuyam, you know, maybe in Yibum. So what I've added today to explain, from Reb Chaim's perspective, you know, the resolution of Isurei Bia and Gerushin, you know, and then this other question of, you know, Isurei Bia Perek Yudches, is that there's, like, you know, in between those two dinim vadayim, in a way, there's another din vadai. But of course, these dine vadai do affect the projection of, you know, what, you know, what may have happened. And that's why it goes back a little bit to what Uriel was asking me before also, like what's, I gave four different suggestions, but, like, what is it that motivates Reb Chaim to want to say, even though the language of the Rambam is that Eid Echad just targets the Hashgah, to say there's also an added element of Bira. But saying that that has an added element of Bira beyond Kini Yisira, which is a din without Birur, just a din, is still short of Sota Vadai Al Yudei Shnayim Edim. And I would say a fourth category, I mean, based on what I've been saying, and that is sometimes the knowledge that it's Vadai, you know, creates a shame, you know, of Tumah Ke'erva. Yeah, so in theory, there could be four levels, you know, not to, you know, be pedantic about it, but you have a question?
Yeah, just, how does Rebbe think Reb Chaim read the end of the Rambam in Halacha Chafes? Because he says, Alpha Bisha Iker Ha'edos Be'ed Echad, which has to be talking about the Edos on Tumah, so Kfar Huchzuka Bezona sounds like based on that Edos of Be'ed Echad. But
let me see. Again, remember that this go. I'm not sure. He doesn't relate to it. But again, I want to say one other point for a second. Remember that this halacha, Perek Aleph Halacha Chafes, begins with Huchsaka Nida Bishkein Osel.
Yeah.
Right. And it's also connected with, you know, that Rambam and Perek, you know, Tezvav, the halacha Bav in Sanhedrin. So I think, again, which is why, you know, that makes it a little bit more, that makes it a little more complicated.
Does it help or hurt Reb Chaim? I feel like those connections, the fact that there was something pre-existing, it's not a status that was created within the
Either way, that's a complication. I kind of alluded to it the other day. It sounds like, I think I mentioned the other day, like, it's one thing to talk about, you know, Eid Echad, you know, and Huchsaka, you know, here you don't really have, and that's, you know, kind of identification. Here you are really talking about a Maisa Avera, you know, although you are identifying the Zona. So I think it's a mixed bag. Let me just see if I can take 1 second to look at that line again, but I'm not sure. Let's see. Again, it starts off with Isha Shuchsaka Nida Bishkei Noseha. That's just a pure case of, you know, of Hakara. But that's Mishum Nida, you know. That's not, you know, necessarily Erva and so on and so forth. Then comes the higher standard of Mishum Zona. Afa Pisha Ikar Ha'edus Be'ed Echad Kfar Huchsaka Bo Zona. I guess the Kfar Huchsaka Bo Zona here is through...
Yeah, it's nothing to do with the eight.
It's through Kinu Yistira.
It's through...
Right?
No, according to Reb Chaim, it's through his the Baal subsequent by Sabia with this woman.
Oh, you mean according to this added point.
Yeah.
Hamakandal Ishto V'nistira Ubaid Echad V'heid Shenitma Harezuloka Mishum Zona Afal Pi She'ikar Ha'edus Be'ed Echad. Meaning going back, Kvar Huchsaka Bo. Yeah, so Reb Chaim would probably read it. Afal Pi She'ikar Edus Beid Echad, and therefore, Ein Davar Shever Pakas Mishnayim. Right, and therefore there shouldn't be Zona. Nonetheless, Kvar Huchsaka Bo Zona. The Huchsaka here is a little bit different than Huchsaka Bishkein Osaha. But the Huchsaka here is through the process of Kinui Ustira, meaning since she's Asura, you have to add the words, since she's Asura Labala, so it's not, you know, what she was prior, it's what, you know, will be automatically legally triggered going forward. She's Huchsaka Zona by virtue of this combination of being Asura Labaila and Asura Labaila creating a shame Zona. That's how Reb Chaim's reading it.
And the Kvar is like... I mean, the Kvar makes it sound like kvar she was already...
Meaning that the... Meaning the no, that doesn't... Meaning the, you know, the basis, you know, for defining her as a Zona comes from what legally, you know, already exists... namely the kini usira, which makes her asur labala, which in turn makes any future encounter that she will have a zona. I don't think it's so bad. Yeah. I mean, I think it's fine. Then there's one more paragraph before the, you know, you guys hold it. What's the, go ahead, you were doing such a good job. So this is where he's saying something very pretty much the same as the last paragraph in the Chasiba. Yeah, go ahead, very quickly. Kamokain lo mahani gam linyan shem tuma benitma vadai. Right, so that you can skip because that's all stuff that that's based. I just want to show you the consistency. Meaning, what does it mean lo moel lashriya seka? Because ain osrim alayichud. Right, it's less than a safek, and it's far more than a safek. That's the point. Mimela. Yeah, and then mishum zona. Kamosha kasabnu. The nas is zona v'bia zugufa. Not that she is a zona already, but that she, if he were to have a relationship with her, that would be a maisa znus, and that would make her a zona, because she's asura. And that, I think, is how you interpret it. Kvar huksaka, meaning kvar huksaka that she's be'iser, which means that going forward, right, that would be a zona. Delo shaini iser tuma shel kinustira mishari surim. That's because he thinks that tuma vadai, right, is a complex, that tuma, right, is not, you know, limited in terms of kinui ustira.
Oh, that's a Rambam. Gam la'inyan halav shel tuma ino neman v'chonimuso hurak la'inyan iser tuma shel kinui ustira.
Okay, and then he has another, again, the rest of it I'm not going to read, but he has another interesting point. He does have an interesting suggestion to be aware of, and that is that there's a special... you familiar? You saw it?
Not as well this second.
He basically suggests that there are two dinim of zona. That there's a zona... He's talking about the Ravid's connection between onus. You know, whether onus is a zona, there's a stira. Like, what does onus being a zona have to do, you know, with kinu stira creating, you know, the status of zona? Right? That's what the Ravid does. So he wants to suggest that there's a special status of zona that is connected to the violations of Eishes Ish. And he tries to prove that in the Rambam. That's just a very interesting thing to be aware of. Again, part of the things that we're talking about is obviously kinu stira is within the Ishus, and that's where there's like this heightened sensitivity, which like especially according to Reb Chaim's whole understanding, right, that's where a lot of this, you know, comes from. You know, is that there's special dinim within Ishus, you know, that kind of sidestep, you know, the regular Berurim, you know, etc. So the idea that also there is a separate shame zona, you know, that is specific to, you know, Eishes Ish, where the question of, you know, onus keratzon, you know, possibly being different, you know, is also something that, you know, emerges from like a certain consistency. You know, whether it's driven by that or it's really driven by the evidence, which makes it more impressive, actually. But this idea that, you know, we treat you know, inside Ishus, you know, Sveikos and Chashashos or Chashados, you know, differently, you know, even, and then they spill over, even in terms of things like Zona, you know, to protect, you know, Kahuna. You know, that's something that emerges from the piece as well. Okay, anyway, just to be aware that this piece in Sota and the one in Yibum and the one in Isurei Bia and the Chidush Agrach on Sota Daf Chav Ches, and, you know, there are probably others, but there's a very, you know, very elaborate, you know, effort to, you know, be very precise about how these things work. Again, when you're in a position to put them all together, they're like all amazing things, more than the sum of their parts. And like a very, you know, a picture emerges that is very subtle but clear, and also that has important implications, you know, from a hashkafic point of view about, you know, the nature of these categories. Okay, having said all of that, okay, so that's a second approach. A third approach is the approach of the Magid Mishnah. Ezra, you're back? Okay. Also, there's probably a lot of time to contemplate on these issues.
Yeah, it's all I've been thinking about.
And in the dark, especially. You have Mabish in the dark?
Yeah,
or you?
In the dark.
Okay. I mean, only in physically in the dark. Okay. So what's the Magid Mishnah's take on all this? You can read it a little bit if you have. That's the Magid Mishnah in Isurei Bia. Right, the Kesef Mishnah quotes it. We'll get to that in a second. In the Kesef Mishnah quotes it in Gerushin.
Yeah.
But what's the take of the Magid Mishnah?
Basically, downplays the Rambam and Abbas Gerushin. He says that the Rambam said that the Sota Ketmalkos, that's really only Darbana.
Yeah, which doesn't sound that way at all in the language of the Rambam. But again, we're dealing with like objectively difficult evidence. So his suggestion is that there's only Makas Marks. But
yeah.
Why?
But it's Lav
Shebeklalus. And then but if you have the line there, he says, but if it's Lav Shebeklalus, then, which is, by the way, the Ramban claimed also, that that's why the Ram doesn't count twice, although he doesn't say that according to the Ram you don't get Malkus. I mean, the Ramban does not say that for the Rambam in his Hashmata. He only explains why the Ram didn't count it twice. The Magid Mishnah is trying to explain, again, he's assuming that, you know, there's no difference between Eid Echad and Kinu Ristira and Vadai Zinsa. Those should be equal, that's he's assuming. And therefore, again, he also points out the absence in Sanhedrin, right? And some of these other things. Doesn't mention so much Sefer Mitzvos. But then the problem is, like, why are you loke Mishum Machzik Grushaso? Correct?
Yeah.
What did he say about that?
I think he says Grushaso. Can we call Malkos? I read it.
Sounds like. The slow and clear. Go ahead.
Kevan Shep Shuto Shemekra Ubim Nia Hazara Sagrusha Hamachi Grushaso Loke.
Yeah.
Vahabal Ishto Shitin, so in a Loke Machmas Lav said.
Exactly. So this is again. Again, it's hard to know, you know, obviously all these pshatim in the Rambam to solve these problems cannot be right. I mean, there's some mutual exclusivity. I tend to think that, you know, even if, you know, they're not all right, first of all, they're all possible, and they're all suggested by people, great people who thought they were plausible. But in addition to that, there are elements of all of them that are correct, no matter what. And here, the Magid Mishnah, I think, is zeroing in, Ezra, on what? On that point, namely, exactly, that for the Rambam, and again, this is something, you know, that when you read the Gemara, you know, with the caveat of what was said, you know, about the Hutama part as opposed to the Lav part, but obviously that still makes a big difference, you know, and, you know, it's... you know, the Rambam's general shita, as I mentioned, which is to be very influenced by Pshuta Shel Mikra, in terms of the lumdus, certainly, or the hierarchy, I think is consistent, you know, here as well. So this idea that it's lav shebeklalos, but that there's an ikar lav, and that the ikar lav is dafka masu grushaso, and not the other way around, I think is very important And then when he says, you know, it's also Bichlal Lav Zeb, which is the diuk I wanted to make in Hilchos Gerushin, obviously that, you know, also, you know, kind of tipped his hat on that, you know, a part of it. And again in Sefer Mitzvos and in the Koteret, you know, that it would be under the rubric of Matzah Grushaso. So all that, you know, would help a lot, you know, as well. Even if that's not the ultimate answer, you know, for this particular question. Then you have the Kesef Mishnah, right, who says something, you know, that's the Kesef Mishnah in Hilchos Gerushin. Ezra, you have that?
Yeah.
And, you know, he goes through the, he mentions the Magid Mishnah, and he doesn't like it so much, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he says something quite, or he quotes something that is quite remarkable. And again, I'm not sure if I believe it, but even the consideration of it is something that is, you know, spectacular. You have it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what is it? Kishagirsha?
Yeah.
V'hichzira, without anything in between.
Yeah.
No erisin, no nisuin. In other words, he was machzir, literally, you know, like the language in the Rabban that I was trying to be medayik from. He was machzir sotaso, you know, hagrusha. Again, the Rabban is talking about being machzir sotaso as being the equivalent of machzir grushaso. And the... Kesef Mishnah is talking about actually, you know, what happens if you're machzir sutaso hagarusha. So then you don't need, that's a suggestion, you wouldn't need the in-between kiddushin. Why? Go ahead.
It says,
Wow. So that's number one. It's a similar to what a little bit what Al was telling me, right, that the Rav was trying to read into the psukim of Nisuin, you know, in Matzah Grushaso in terms of the Pshat. But this is even a little more radical, obviously, and the application is far more radical. So, you know, this idea, so instead of there being like, oh, maybe two chalos, machzir grushah, that was like a I don't know, a third one, you know, or it's the second one. Namely, your machzir sotaso, machzir gerushin, but without an intervening anything, and that would be the pshat, right, and that would be why you're loka, dafka in this case, and that's what the Rama means. So it's hard to know whether to believe it, but The takeaway is two things. Number one, again, this idea of the pshat, but more important, the takeaway? Exactly. The idea, if Matzah Grushaso and Sota, you know, were completely, you know, different, you know, Isurim, it would be very hard to say such a thing. The more they, like, are, you know, they share a pasuk, you know, and so on, you know, precisely because there's an overlap. Again, whether the overlap is in one direction or the other direction, or the common denominator, you know, which is, oh, you're playing fast and loose, you know, with Ishus. In one case, you know, the institution, and the other case, you know, the personal relationship, you know, through Ishus. But either way, you know, it could even be a kind of like an almost like an akshave, you know, type of thing. Like typically, you know, machzir grushaso, you know, requires like an intervening, you know, relationship, because otherwise it's like, oh, I made a mistake. I don't mean legally so much, only quasi legally, you know, because you do have to do a kiddushin. As I think I mentioned, I hope we'll get back to it in another context. But like, there's some question about, you know, Birchas Erisin and Birchas Nisuin. We know that, you know, on a technical level, in terms of like Simcha, you know, that there's a difference between Matzah Grushaso and everything else. That's the Mishnah in Moed Katan, you know, in terms of getting, you know, married B'moed, you know. But, you know, you could have said that that's, yeah, it's the second marriage. Hopefully it's happier because the people now, you know, appreciate each other more. It's a little bit like, you know, the Hester Punim, you know, of yesterday's, you know, eclipse. You know, absence, what do they say, makes the, you know, the heart grow fonder. But having said that, you know, some of the novelty and the you know, the excitement and you want it always to be more, you know, but, you know, first time, you know, the real marriage, you know, is, you know, is a very unique thing, right? 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 Okay, we have Kasanim here in the crowd, you know, for the past, you know, the future. So it's a very, so the idea that there's a difference in the level of simcha and Eim Arv and simcha b'simcha, you know, and just like we know that like Almon Shanas Almana, that's a little bit of a different case. You know, people from different, you know, marriages, you know, there are differences in terms of, you know, the days of simcha and the days of bracha. It's like in the first parak of Ksuvas. You know, so in terms of level of simcha, intensity of simcha, different kinds of simcha, all these make sense. But does it mean more than that? Could it mean also, like, that on a certain level, that you're, as I say, lapsing back, you know, into the ishus? So that even though, you know, it doesn't help you, you know, for kahuna, right? In the kahuna club, they have very strict rules, you know, about these kind of things. Maksa grushasa, you know, is out no matter what. It's not, you can't lapse back into it, you know, from that point of view. Right, but, you know, maybe there are some, you know, aspects, you know, of that. So the point is, you know, that the any, you know, the intervening, I've said this before, you know, so then you have like, oh, to some extent, like you know, what prevents lapsing back is other relationships. And then should we mostly paskin that znus doesn't count because it doesn't register, meaning it's bad and it's usur, but it doesn't necessarily, you know, because it isn't formalized and legalized, so it doesn't necessarily preclude all this. Although, as I mentioned, in the Sefer Mitzvot Rav Sajagon in Kuf Yud Gimel, I believe, he does have, like, you know, Lashonos of the Gaonim and others, like, who do suggest that, you know, that maybe, you know, Znus matters in some cases as well. But, you know, the bigger point is that normally, you know, Masa Grushaso is fine, you know, if it isn't Kahuna and it isn't, you know, another Erusin or Kiddushin or Nisuin, according to Rabbi Yosef Ben Kippur, etc. But the point is that if it's, you know, this sotaso, there could be no going back. It could be another pshat. In other words, in addition, you know, to the common mechayiv or to the common denominator, you know, of different mechayivim, which accentuates, you know, when they come together. It also may be a kind of like an akshave for maksir grushaso. In other words, in a typical marriage where, you know, nothing objectively happen to poison, you know, a future together, you know, so then there can be a lapsing back into that marriage, you know, etc. But, you know, if there's an Iser within the marriage, you know, then you can't lapse back, you know, into the marriage. So either from a Matsu Grushasa point of view as a kind of like an Akshave, or as I said, from a Sota point of view, which is, you know, this is literally like, you know, sota. But that would have, the sota part wouldn't help for the, so much for the malchus, if the malchus, you know, was limited, let's say, to matzah grushasa. So, either way, I think there are several ways to explain this idea in the Kesef Mishnah. But no question that, you know, the role of Pshuta Shomikra A, but also the relationship between Maksu Grishaso and Sota itself, and the different, you know, variations that we've been suggesting about what that relationship is, come into play as well. I should mention that there's like an interesting discussion in the Minchas Chinuch. I think I mentioned last year when we talked about this. In the Minchas Chinuch, he's like Mistapek, like in a case of Shifcha Charufa, right, whether there'd be a din, you know, of, you know, of Maksa Grushasa or not. You know, like if you had Shivcha Charufa, you know, and you know, that marriage, you know, ended, and then she was involved with someone else, would it still be, you know, prohibited, you know, to reconnect, you know, or not? So again, I think in Michas Chinuch's perspective is about, you know, the chomer, you know, ha'iser, but there are different, you know, there are different onshim. First of all, mechalik between the, you know, the husband and the wife, or the man and the woman, I should say. But obviously there are different, you know, that bond is different than a regular marriage. So in terms of chomer, but it could very well be that, again, if the mechayev of matzi grushaso in general is the institution of ishus, you know, then that's a giant further reason, not just because of the, you know, the chomer hadavar, but what it is that's at stake, you know, to talk about distinguishing between that and the other. Okay, so that's what I want to talk about in terms of sota and matzi grushaso. And now let's turn our attention to kola ola liibum ola lechalitza. We're going to stop in one more minute. We'll just to scope out the issue. So we'll start going through the Mekoros on Thursday. But we've seen already quite a bit about this. And, you know, we've already identified, you know, some of the questions. Is this all about Zika? Basically, the din of kol ola yibum ola chalitza kol sheino ola yibum eino ola chalitza, right? To what extent, you know, this is a din that has something to do with the relationship, you know, between yibum and chalitza itself, especially chalitza. In other words, you know, to what extent chalitza, like, is an equal option? It's an option that is built on definition of, you know, either disappointment or abandonment, you know, of Yibum, etc. Things that we talked about earlier in the year, especially in connection, you know, with some of the brachos issues, and especially with the tashbates, when we talk about, you know, nishba levata l'samitzvah. Is that really the primary idea, the relationship between, you know, Yibum and chalitza itself? To what extent chalitza is like a booby prize or a punishment for, you know, a second option to Yibum? Or, you know, is this really about Zika? In which case, you know, how do we define Zika? We've already talked about that quite a bit. We need to speak about it much more. It's a massive topic. Like, which chisronos of Yibum, you know, signify a flaw in the actual Zika, as opposed to situations, and there could be a range of them, like where you can't implement Yibum, but, you know, mi katzel katzeh, you know, in some cases you can't implement it, you know, for totally technical reasons. Something that, you know, the Rajba would say would feel comfortable calling, you know, Iser, you know, Mishum Davar Acher. And sometimes, you know, there's a very fundamental reason why, you know, there is no Yibum, you know, and sometimes that's, you know, even accompanied by other, you know, extreme expressions of that, in particular, right, the p'tur of tzara. So there's a range. When we talked about the Rajba, let's say, on daf Beis Amud Aleph, you know, we noted, you know, that he seems to, like, you know, ignore, you know, the big space in between, you know, a Yibum problem of erva, you know, which, you know, includes a p'tur tzara, and which, you know, since it's kaive krisus and a shame erva, you know, presumably precludes, you know, any kind of meaningful, you know, Zika. You know, that's like one extreme. And almost like he says, like, you know, this din of kol ola yibum applies to erva, you know, but, you know, it's not going to apply, you know, when you have, you know, an iser mishum, you know, davar acher, or like a tznai bialma. So in between those two things, you know, one of which carries a p'tur tzara, The other, you know, in some cases, it could even be that in Avar V'Yibim, as we discussed, you know, that you might even say Kanu, right? So it's only L'chatchila. And even if it's B'di'eved, but, you know, it's an implementation problem, you know, where there's like a certain, you know, even ambivalence, you know, in some cases. Right. So if we're talking about, you know, these two, like, broad, you know, perspectives, you know, the reality that there's no Yibum, or that, you know, you didn't walk away voluntarily from Yibum, you know, and therefore you shouldn't get either the Avelus aspects or the Klala aspects or the definition of being like, you know, the, you know, the cleanup, the you know, the alternative, you know, to a volitional, you know, Yibum. You know, that's one. And or we're talking about not a relationship between Yibum and Chalitz at all, as I say, but a question of an objective question of, you know, whether or not the circumstances that reflect an absence of Yibum, you know, also apply and therefore affect Chalitza, namely Zika. And in between those, the possibility that there's a Zika Liyibum and a Zika, you know, L'Chalitza. So those are the parameters. So we should be, you know, looking at some of the, how frequent are cases Doraisa of Chalitza B'Liyibum, in other words, exceptions to the rule of Kola Ola. Are there any exceptions? You know, or is, you know, on one extreme you could say there are no exceptions. There seem to be some cases Doraisa. Maybe we can neutralize each and every one of those cases. Either there are only Chalitza D'Rabbanan, right, like the Deus and the Ramban, and Tshuvas HaRashba, and Rajba, you know, and Daf Chaf. Or, like the Keren Ora, you know, maybe all those cases are cases where, you know, even if it's Doraisa, you know, Olal Yibum, but in Avar V'Yibim, you know, it would be Kana, in which case, you know, it isn't really an exception to the rule of... It is Ola Liyibum, just only B'di'eved, just not L'chatchila. Or, no, there really are exceptions. How extensive are those exceptions? So, obviously, the most prominent one, you know, likely is, you know, Ase Doche Lav Los Ase V'Ein Ase Doche Los Ase V'Ase. But, as we've seen... You know, there might be, you know, even within that, there might be differences depending on the relationship of the assay and the lab, or the, you know, nature of this assay and lab even joined. We're talking about noderes, are you talking about something within ishus? So this is basically, you know, what we want to, you know, try to pin down, you know, just a little bit better. The first question, I guess, would be to ask, do you need a Xeris HaKasuf to teach you the din of Kala Ola Liyibum Ola Chalitza Kol She'en Ola Liyibum in Ola Chalitza? Because again, if it's more about the common denominator, the Zika, right, then you probably don't need a Xeris HaKasuf. You just have to figure out, or if you do need a Xeris HaKasuf, it's to teach you that, and then, you know, you're on your own. But it isn't really the Xeris HaKasuf, it's the Gili Milsa, you know, of the common, you know, denominator. On the other hand, you know, if you think that Chalitza is, you know, a circumstance by definition where, you know, you turned your back on Yibum, you know, again, you may not need a Xeris HaKasuf for that. It's not the common denominator. It is a direct correlation between the two. But then, of course, you know, that would go to the heart of what Chalitza is. If it's something, you know, in between, then the need for Xeris HaKasuf becomes... great. So how many exceptions? What are those exceptions? And do you need a Xeris HaKasuf? That's what we're going to start with. I'll stop here for today. But let's pick up with this and try to move quickly. We'll just summarize some of the cases that we've seen already and what people say about them. But I want to talk about, I say, some of the other cases, Muberes, and I'll give you more to look at as well. And just some of the Yerushalmis about Chalitza that we've talked about, you know, we've mentioned throughout the year. But, you know, to get them also on the official record.
What does everyone want us to see?
What?
What does everyone want us to see? What does everyone want us to see on this?
I think I gave you about... we're going to start with like, the ones we've seen. this the stuff on Dabchav, you know, Mabgiro, etc. But Luberes, I want to see the Rishonim on Lamed Hay. You know, the Rambans on Dabchav, the Rajba. The Rishonim, did I give you the Rishonim already or not? The numbers. Okay, so I'll send you that. I don't have it. The one at the end of the Masechta, so I'll give you some of those to look at, and then we'll try to. After that, we'll see how much time we have before Yom Tov. We're running out, so we'll see if we can.